All right, so today I'm actually talking to the wives. But I wanted us to bookend this entire message with prayer. That's a prayer from a husband asking the Lord to lead him so he can be the leader he's called to be. We're going to bookend on the backside with a prayer for you wives to be praying for your husbands. Well, here's the deal. We're in the middle of a conversation. If you stumbled into Centerpoint today and this is your first time, or you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, it really will feel like you walked into the middle of something that was already going on. Last week, we dealt with this idea, this reality, as it grows out of Ephesians 5:33. When Paul says to the church, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Right there on the screen. That's where we closed out last week. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There's an old story that circulates around the idea of marriage and love and respect, and it's the story of the husband who went to the marriage seminar. It was the marriage seminar for husbands. And while he was there, he found out, really for the first time, that he was called to be the leader of his home. He was called to be the leader of his wife and his children. And so he got all ramped up and excited, and he went home, and he walked in the door, and the wife was there and said, how was it? He said, it was great. He said, I finally understand what my role is in this relationship. I am to be the head of this household. I am the leader of you, and I'm the leader of these children, and I'm looking forward to fixing everything that's wrong with you and them, and we're going to take this entire marriage and this relationship and this home in a brand new direction. We're going to fix everything that's going wrong in this thing. Well, after that conversation, he didn't see his wife for a little while. And then after about a week, he started to see her a little bit out of his left eye. Then his right eye. A recent survey of 7,000 couple revealed that 80% of husbands feel disrespected by their wives following a conflict. While just over 73% of wives feel unloved by their husbands following a conflict. The scripture says, wives, submit to and respect your husbands. And I want to ask the wives a question this morning. I am primarily speaking to you. Do you believe when God says, submit to and respect your husband, wives, do you believe fundamentally that God is trying to help you in your marriage with this instruction? Or is he primarily trying to hurt you in your marriage in this instruction? You see, for these ideas, submission and respect really begin to reveal for us God's design and also God's desire for what Christian marriage should look like. And one of the steps that I believe moves us towards a thriving marital relationship is us as married couples buying into God's design and God's desire for us. Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, great preacher, author. He writes about having met with a married couple that was in the midst of crisis. And in fact, the word divorce had come up, and the word divorce had come up from the husband. So as they were sitting in his office one day, they were having conversation about things that were going on. And he finally had talked the husband into the idea that marriage was no, or divorce was not on the table for their marriage, and they were going to try to move forward somehow in their relationship. And he looked at the husband and he asked the husband, he said, okay, he said, in light of this conversation today, are you ready to move forward and to move back into your home with your wife? By this point, he had already left the home. And he said, very surprisingly, he said, the husband said, no. He said, I'm willing to work on the marriage. He said, but at this point, I'm not willing to move back into the home. He said it, he was blown away when the husband said, I won't spend one more night under the roof with her and her little black book. And Dr. Kinlaw was kind of taken back, and he was like, little black book? What? He looked at the husband, he said, what are you talking about, little black book? And he said, she has a little black book where she has written down everything that I have ever done wrong. He looked over at the wife, He said he could tell just by the look on her face that he was telling the truth. And the husband very vehemently said, I won't spend another night under the roof with her and her little black book. Can I tell you today, wives, husbands are flawed individuals. We are broken vessels. Y'all can stop giggling at that point. I'm trying to be honest with you. As husbands, we are broken, we are flawed vessels. Yet it is to these flawed, broken vessels that God tells the wife to submit. And it is these flawed, broken vessels that God tells the wives to respect. So there might be one traitor among us, but I think I can speak for most every husband when I say these words to you. Wives, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes. We will make mistakes. But we want God to protect our hearts so that our motives and our intentions are pure, even when our methods are wrong. Could you hear that today from me, but could you hear it in your husband's voice? We are not perfect. We do make mistakes, and we will make mistakes. But we want God to protect our hearts so that our motives and our intentions are pure, even when our methods are wrong. Could a wife respect that? Would a wife respect that? So God calls upon wives to live out submission and respect even toward their flawed and broken vessel of a husband. And the truth is even though I've put them on the spot already a little bit this morning, we know that we are flawed. We know that we are broken. Wives, we confess this morning that you are so much more relationally smart than we could ever be. So the idea of submission, the idea of respect is never void of the reality of the wife speaking into and living into the relationship. We understand this morning, we need you. You know a whole lot. You see a whole lot that we don't see. You understand a whole lot that we don't understand. And truly, when we sit down to talk, we are interested in what you have to say, even if our body language says otherwise. That was a little bit of a joke. You guys are catching on here. Husbands are called to lead as servant leaders and to lead primarily through love and sacrifice. We're going to talk more about that next week. Before today, I want us to just kind of to plant around this idea that wives are called to submit to their husbands, allowing him to lead as he approaches the relationship with great affection and care. And so again, where we ended last week, Ephesians 5:33, husbands love, wives respect. This is God's divine plan for marriage. And not only is it God's divine plan and his design for marriage, I have to come to this question, do I trust God? Do I trust that God wants what's best for me, wants what's best for my marriage, wants what's best for my family as he has created this design? And so I want to stop and I want to ask the husbands a question at this point. Husbands, are you willing to lead your families? Are you desiring to lead your families? In the words of a famous Yoda, he who desires to lead, I forget the quote, it's a noble task, right? If you desire to take on leadership, you desire a noble task, not only within the church, but especially within the home. And so we have to buy into this idea that God has a design, he has a desire for our marital relationship, and within that then, we are called to take on our particular role within the relationship. Husbands, are you willing to lead? Wives, are you willing to be led? Husbands, are you willing to lead? Wives, are you willing to be led? Now I want to propose to you today, we see the true reality of submission in the life of Jesus when he's on his way to the cross, and we're going to look at that story out of Matthew chapter 26. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Here's the deal. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He knows what is awaiting him. He's been talking to his disciples about it. By the time we get to Matthew 26, he's already predicted his death on several occasions. By the time we get to Matthew 26, much later actually in the telling of the gospel, in John's gospel, you find the Last Supper in John 13. We're already to Matthew 26 before we find Jesus sitting down with his disciples, having the Last Supper together, Judas dipping his hand in the bowl with him. And they've talked about this already. Jesus has predicted that Peter is going to deny him. And then we find this conversation between Jesus and God the Father with his disciples in the background. That's where we pick up in Matthew 26. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Center point, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. A couple weeks ago, our pastoral staff and some other leaders from the church had the chance to go to the Dominican Republic to explore some things that are happening on the Mesoamerica region by way of missions and particularly an urban church planting movement that's taking place. You're going to hear a lot more about that in the days ahead. But on one day, we got to go around the city of Santo Domingo and really just explore the city a little bit, see some of the sites with our missionary families there. And we got a chance to visit the very first cathedral of the Americas. A beautiful, beautiful cathedral right in the heart of Santo Domingo. And I was struck because the architecture is beautiful. The columns are beautiful. It's huge. It's big. It's vast. But one thing caught my eye more than anything else, and it was a stained glass. So I actually just kind of camped out for a little bit in front of this particular stained glass. Leo, will you pop that up there for us? Picture's a little dark, taken on an iPhone. But ultimately what it is the scene from this story here in Matthew 26. It is the garden. And it's Jesus taking a posture of submission before God the Father. Jesus praying this prayer, as Matthew tells us, he prayed it three times. "Father, I understand what's going on here, but if there's any way that maybe we could not go this route, I don't particularly like this method. Not what I want, but your will be done." And you can't really see it in this particular photo, but in the back over Jesus' left shoulder are three of the disciples sleeping, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And again, you can see in Peter's hand, Peter is grasping his sword. And so not only in Jesus' own heart is he feeling as if, like, this is not the route I want to take. I've been talking about it for a long time, but I feel like now if I could pull out of this thing, I would. Even Peter is ready. He's ready for conflict. He's ready to take on whatever resistance might come against them. Now, here's the thing. Jesus placed his hand, or placed his life in the hands of God the Father because he knew that the Father could be trusted. And so this idea that he prays three times, Father, I'm here with you. We're going to do this, but if there's another route we could take at this point, let's do that, but your will be done. But your will be done. But your will be done. Now, church, I want you to understand this, because this is kind of preacher talk. I don't mean to highlight for you this morning the story of Jesus in the garden as an allegory for your marriage. Okay, very important right here. I'm not attempting to say to you, this is a picture of marriage. Wife, you're Jesus. Husband, you're God the Father. This is what you should be doing here. That's not the idea here. The idea is not the allegory of marriage. The idea here is that we see in a very real way in the life of Jesus what submission and respect look like. We see in the person of Jesus, in the outflow and the faithfulness of Jesus' life, this is what submission and respect look like. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I could perhaps even disagree with the path and the plan that you have for me, but at the end of the day, you're the leader. And I wonder, I question, what does that look like in my own life? As a husband, it says to me, if God has placed on me this mantle of leadership, I better be praying prayers like the guy singing the Sanctus Real song, Father, you lead me so that I then might be empowered and equipped to lead those you have called me to lead. And so I get really, really kind of fidgety around this idea. Do you trust God enough to trust his design and his desire for your marriage? That entire image flips a little bit when you ask the wife, do you trust your husband enough to trust God's design? Do you trust your husband enough to trust God's design? What's God's design? That he's the leader of the household. Love him, respect him, submit to his authority in your home. That's great, Dwayne. I buy into God's design, but you don't know my husband very well. You know the public husband, right? You know the church husband. You know the Facebook husband. You don't know the private husband. No, I don't, but God does. Husbands, are you willing to lead as the Father leads you? Wives, are you willing to follow your husband as they are led by the Father? On the opposite side of this Sanctus Real song, the writer of that song, the lead singer of the band and his wife, put out this little snippet. I invite you to turn your attention to the screen. I don't know how many times I'd heard that song before I ever heard the story behind the song. For years, truly, I have sung this song. I've cried to this song. I have prayed this song. I've prayed that that song would make its way into my own heart, my own life, my marriage, my relationship with my kids. I said to you earlier, ladies, we understand you are relationally smarter than we are. I said to you earlier, we listen to you, even if sometimes it appears we don't. I was very fascinated in that little interview there of the responses from the wife. You see, we get to see the public persona of the husband who's out there traveling around and singing the song, and the one who's interviewed on the radio when they interview people about what you're hearing on the radio. But the wife comes along and the wife says, I love my husband, but. The wife got to the point where she said, we have to figure this thing out. Things are not right. We have to figure this things out. Wives, if you're here today and you're at that place, you might be at a pretty scary point in your relationship when you see that things have already digressed so much in your relationship with your husband that you have the butt at work. Don't laugh at that point. And you have this idea that we have to figure this thing out. Marley and I were laughing this week because I was sharing with her a story. Emerson Eggerich, he's the author of the book Love and Respect. He leads a ministry called Marriage Matters. And Emerson has what he calls the respect test. He says, here's what you do, and I'm giving it away. I apologize, wives, I'm giving it away. If we would have had a private sermon today and husbands were out, this would be more effective. But he says, wives, he says, here's what you need to do. He says, you go home, and you need to find your husband doing nothing, right? Probably not very difficult for most of you. Find your husband doing nothing. He can't be focused on TV, his phone, a project. He just has to be doing nothing. And he says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to walk into the room, and I want you to simply say this. Husband, I just want you to know that I respect you. I've been thinking about you a lot this week, and I respect you. And then just turn around and walk out of the room. At that point, Emerson pulls back, and he starts to tell a personal story. He said, I told one, you know, one seminar to do this. And a lady came up to me later, and she shared a story. She said, I did what you told me to do. She said, I went home, and there he was sitting on the couch doing nothing. And I went in, and I said, hey, can I talk to you? And the husband looked up at me and said, what did I do now? She said, I was thinking about you today, and I wanted you to know that I respect you. At that point, she turned, she walked out of the living room and into the bedroom. But by the time she got to the bedroom, he was shouting, hey, come back in here. She didn't come. He got up off the couch. That in itself is a miracle, right? Already. Way to go, wife. He jumps up off the couch, continues to scream into the bedroom to the point that the kids down the hall heard the screaming. They come running down the hall and they're like, what? What's going on? What's the problem? Well, they had to shoo the kids out. And the husband's standing there and goes, well, you know, talk to me about this. What in the world is going on? Here's the truth. She, in about the first 12 months of their marriage, had lost all respect for him. You see, in their courtship days, he approached her, he courted her, he revered her, he honored her, he did things to get her attention, but then after the marriage, even in just the first 12 months, those things were gone, and slowly her respect for him started to dissipate. And he reports these haunting words from her. He had lost my respect, and he didn't know how to get it back. Wives, aside from extreme circumstances, he knows you love him. But when a man hears his mother tongue, respect, he runs towards it. Mark Gunger, who does the Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage series, he paints this picture like this. And he's speaking to the wives. He says, wives, you have to be very careful to respect your husbands, and here's why. He says, if your husband comes home day after day, night after night, and all he hears is griping and complaining, he doesn't use these words, my words, if all he hears is your proverbial black book, and these are Gunger's words, but then some bimbo in the office comes along and says, hey, you know what? That's a really great idea. He says something happens in the heart of the husband that is his mother tongue, that wakes him up, and he goes, whoa, somebody who thinks I have a great idea, because all I've heard from my wife is just how my ideas are not very great, and now someone is speaking my mother tongue. And Gunger, in a very humorous way, much more humorous than I am, says to the wives, begin to speak the language that your husband can understand so that the enemy can't use God's design and God's desire for your marriage as a way to swoop in and undercut the relationship. married couples, I want to encourage you this week to talk about this reality in your marriage. I believe husbands could truly say this week to their wives, I know you love me. I know that that pending incredible circumstances, you're not going to leave me. But husbands, would you be willing to ask your wives, do you respect me? Do you truly respect me? And here's the thing. Center point, married couples, if you could have this conversation this week, I believe there's another conversation to have, whether the answer is yes or no. So wives, if you could look at your husbands and very honestly say to them, I do respect you. Good, then there's a conversation to have. Why? Let me tell you some things about your life. Let me tell you about some things that I see at work in you. Let me tell you about some conversations we have. Let me tell you about how you have led us. You've led our family. You've led our children. How you work and provide. Let me tell you right now why I respect you. Let me bring to light maybe some things you haven't seen or heard from me in a pretty long time. But if you have this conversation, and wives, you'd be willing to be honest with your husband and say, you know what? I lost respect for you along the way. Then I believe at that point there's a different conversation to have. Will you tell me about it? Yeah. Remember when this happened a long time ago? I started to lose respect. And then that happened over there. And then you said this one day. And you didn't even realize that that hurt my feelings. And then the next thing you know, another conversation has unfolded. Talk about it. If you struggle to respect him, talk about it. Tell him the truth and be honest about a plan for moving forward. Be honest about a plan for starting to rebuild what respect would look like in your marriage. And here's the thing. This is the caveat. Wives, remember, you can't change anything in the past. Can't go back and redo. Now, if there are some amends that could be made, perhaps that could happen. But by and large, we can't redo the past, but we can move forward into the future that God desires for our marriages. So, center point, here's the challenge. Husbands, we're going to talk next week. We're not wrapping this thing up real nice today, okay? Here's the challenge. Spend time this week talking about your respective roles in the relationship, primarily the wife's role to respect her husband, and ultimately come to an agreement on what you believe God is calling you to do and how he's calling you to function in your relationship. In the meantime, wives, I want to give you a prayer. When you came in this morning, on every other seat was the marriage prayer. This is praying for him. Next week, husbands, you'll receive praying for her. If you want to cheat and go ahead and look at this and get a head start, simply change the pronoun and we can start this week, right? But I believe a great place for us to start on the front end is Father, lead me. Right? The husband praying, lead me. Wives, are you willing to be led? Would you be led by a husband who's being led by the Father? Would you respect him? Would you submit to his authority over you and your family, believing that's God's design and desire for your marriage? And then along the way, to bookend this thing, if the husband would pray, lead me, would the wife begin to pray daily this prayer for her husband? So wives, will you take a look here with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of my husband and our life together. Help me to love him or love you more than him and him more than anyone or anything else. Help me bear your love into his life today through my words and actions. Continue to make us one, and what you have joined together, let no one separate. Help me hear him, support him, and serve him so that he might love you more. May our marriage bless others and give you glory in all things. Amen. I've resisted today giving you a 1, 2, 3 on what to do when you walk out of here, because I understand that our relationships are so varied that individual couples will need to arrive at. What does it look like for you to respect me? What does it look like for me to submit to your authority? What conversations do we need to have? So simply the call is go, begin the conversation, and begin to pray for one another that God's design for your marriage and his desire for your marriage will begin to rise to the surface so that you might follow him more faithfully. Amen. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. We're going to continue to worship. Let's pray together. God, perhaps Shelley was on to something earlier this morning when she prayed that if we heard something crazy from the sermon, for you to help us through it. God, we wish we understood the ins and outs of marriage and people and relationships and conflict and hurt feelings and broken hearts and shattered dreams. And God, we just don't. God, we come before you today just to confess our need of you in our marriage relationships. And Lord, truly, if there is some design for marriage that is going to lead us into success and lead us into thriving marriage relationships, God, we want that. So God, we want to take very seriously today your word when it says that the wife is called to respect and the husband is called to love sacrificially. But God, what does it mean for us as couples? How do we begin this conversation and how do we pray through this conversation? So Lord, I pray all around this room right now, whatever anxiety that this word may bring about in a marriage relationship, that your Holy Spirit will be right there guarding and protecting that conversation. God, so that these conversations could take place with peace and love at work, not tension or strife or raised voices. But God, I pray for an aura of honesty, God, to encompass us, to develop around us, Lord, so that we can be authentic with each other and that our communication with each other would be a very freeing reality. And God, I pray right now for each of our marriages and our homes, God, that these realities will begin to be at work or to increase as you see fit, God, so that truly we can be a blessing to those around us. And God, I pray today for every individual that's not married. God, I have no doubt that it can be difficult for somebody to come into this room and either marriage is a thing of the past because our spouse passed away or we divorced a long time ago, or maybe there's a young person in here who thinks this is irrelevant to me because marriage is so far ahead. God, I pray for each of those individuals, God, that they too will be able to see their place in the midst of submitting to your authority in our lives. God, it's so difficult to say to a God that we don't trust, your will be done. But God, it is so easy to say to a God who we do trust, your will be done. So God, help us to trust you more. Help us to rely on you more. Help us to know and believe and buy into and live into this idea that you have our best interest in mind always, and you are at work at all times for our good. So God, even when we can't see it, even when we refuse to see it, even when we want to ignore it, God, may your goodness continue to sweep into our lives and call us, Lord, to levels of trust that we've never known before. God, take us deeper than our feet would ever wander on their own. And God, truly, for anything good that becomes of us, we will give you thanks and praise. We love you today. Help us to love you more. Help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.